Doom, are you too welcome on previously?
Here in 2020, we're all having a rough go at it. So it's good to begin your morning with a full serving of life. Cereal.
Hi. Hello. Welcome to You Are Doom. Your host is always Brian Dressel. Ooh, this is a rough opening. With me, as always, is Graham. Ooh, who do I call you this week? Let's go with Stan Mason.
Hello.
I know we've already used Stan once, but, you know, there's not that many characters in this show, as we find very quickly. We also have Matt. Let's go with Alex Dykes.
Have I encountered Alex yet?
I'm not sure. It's a computer.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't even remember the character. I'm just looking at a list of the names. So maybe we have, and I just don't remember. It could have happened.
And this is
either way, it's the end
of
season one. So the season one nicknames will be done here after right now. So we don't have to worry about this ever again.
Indeed.
I just want to nitpick Graham's little reaction, though. He said he called you Stan, not Stan Clone. So,
well, I mean, he said harumph at some point. Harumph indeed.
I mean, I'm fine with it. It works. I was going to call you both like Extacle. And just Exicle and to see what happened, but you know, I decided not to. Just it didn't feel real. Anyhow, we did it, guys. We've made it through an entire season of Frisky Dingo. Can you believe that somehow we found the time to watch all 13 10-minute episodes? Like, oh my god, I'm very impressed with us.
11 minutes. That's an extra 13 minutes over the whole season.
Have I been turning them off early? Shit!
Probably skipping the credits.
I mean, if you were to turn off 1 minute of this show, you would actually miss quite a bit. So, no, I've not been doing that, luckily. But yeah, kind of nuts that this is how it ended. And had it not gotten to season two, this would have been a fucker of an ending.
I kind of would have liked it, to be honest, though. It would have felt very, very in keeping with the series as a whole. Like, you know, basically, everyone dies.
Yeah, and just to pull back the curtain on a behind the scenes just briefly, then we'll start talking about this. We do record two episodes or two podcasts at one go, so we are all aware, including Matt, what happens after this episode. But we will try to keep up the mystery of what happens after this as best we can, just in case you are just listening along and you have not been jumping ahead as you've been listening to our show, which I know some of you out there have been from what I've been hearing.
It's at least a big explosion. Whether the United Electrics just explodes, or whether it does what it's intended to do to push us ever so closely or straight into the sun, that is yet to be seen. But we do flash to white. But anyway, we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, way ahead of ourselves.
Another behind-the-scenes thing for our little season one wrap-up, which is coming later. I did actually send a photo of what I've written down.
Your prediction of season two. Yeah.
My prediction of season two before I'd watched any of season two. So,
and you were so wrong. But I don't know. I honestly don't know how you could be right.
Well, he could have gotten it correct. That would be one way.
I mean, I guess that's
that would be that. I mean, you're not wrong of him being right.
you're not wrong.
Yeah, I could have been either right or wrong.
It's like one of those things in exams, though, you know, not putting any answer is, you know, worse than putting just anything.
I don't know.
You're still going to be wrong, but at least you did something.
I don't know. I could just, like, you know, rub a lot of ink over my hand and just put a big handprint on the paper, and that wouldn't be great.
That'd be an answer, though. This is what I think. This is what I think season two will be. Slap.
Hey, man, we went to film school, so we can bullshit ourselves out of anything. Like, so
Matt created change. There's a Columbia joke for 20 people.
Indeed.
All right, let's do this. Let's talk about the final episode. We're here. We did it. Season 1 finale. This thing picks up pretty much right where the other ones have left off, including a previously on, as they like to do, which just had to squeak in Xander Cruz talking about how much he loves masturbation, because apparently that was plot-centric. I immediately took a note of that. I'm like,
I mean, I do it right here.
If I had my stuff with me. What were we talking about again?
Still trying to figure out what stuff. I'm just like picturing like weird implements, like a robot hand.
I don't.
When it comes, oh my god! It's not one of the
really
Exegol hands,
know.
Is it?
Yeah, I
really
with
don't
want to
know.
Don't want to know
what his stuff is. I'm good. I'm good. Never knowing.
Well, yeah, it's just like for me, it's just like sour milk. You just gotta take a whiff.
Nah,
I'm good.
Nah, that's all you.
Yeah, I think I'd let Matt find out, and then he can tell us if
like,
we
yeah,
want to know
bad.
Or not.
You're like, yep,
it's
that's
bad.
What I thought. Thank you.
Matt's just like, I wish I didn't know.
I just come in just like, eyes wide, like pale face. Just like, what was it? You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
Matt, what's wrong? I found out what Xander's stuff is.
Are you okay?
I need a shower.
No. I'm never going to be okay again.
Okay, so this episode then picks up, then starts going through it. So we've set the stage, the excursion through the sewers is done. Killface is back in his house and very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Very upset that
he's
lost
not
his
blind
friend.
Anymore.
Nope, not blind anymore. Not wearing the glasses anymore. He's just back to being Killface, but now without his best friend, Barnaby Jones,
with a little
but
bit
also
of a
his
beard.
Mortal enemy Xander Cruz. Oh, what a pickle he's in, right?
Pickles. And there's a pickle commercial from the Pickle Bros.
And one of the bunnies is left as well. He's still on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not having the best life. Simon's not the best bunny owner. Smacks him with the spoon. Bad bun.
I mean, at least he's got a helmet on, you know.
That's true. And he doesn't go for the helmet. Not like he... Simon and his bunnies, man. This cracks me up. I also just love the final callback to the bowl, because I'd totally forgotten about the Killface doing the bowl thing.
Yep. So they finally got
like that.
More bowls, or at least one. And yeah, Killface just walks right in, depressed. And
I love Killface's like 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh yeah. just kind of depressed, not having a good day. Smashes his son's cereal. Oh man. But I think that kind of, it rings true for Killface. Like, he'd be having a rough day right now. Like, he's lost everyone. I mean, he pushed every single one of them away as hard as he could, but he has lost everyone. I guess he didn't push Xander. I mean, he did bite his ear off.
So he was just, you know, he was just going for it. He just lost himself in the moment, you know?
And he apologized before he did it. So I guess there's that. But then he did feed it to a bunch of Stan clones. Okay, so yeah, he pushes everybody away. but
put
I
in a glass of milk.
Harumph! Don't see that every day. One hopes. So after we catch up with Killface, then we go meet up with Xander, who is he's taking a press conference to let the world know that he's not dead. Stan was unable to declare him legally dead in a few days.
Of course. That.
Who knew? Although in this world, that actually is kind of a valid question. I mean, who does know? But he is just the worst. He has Darcel Jones and Grace Ryan in his office, only going to take one question, and of course. Of course he goes to Darcel. Like, just of course.
I just love the film crew again. Just like, called it.
Gosh.
Darcel Jones and Team Foxy.
Oh, Xander's the worst. I just love that. Next question. Wait, no questions. I'm done. Oh,
Xander, Ryan. What a
I love immediately after that, though, we go back to Killface's apartment, abode. Oh,
we catch up with Phil. Chompa, chompa.
Well, I like how I love how Killface is still watching TV, just totally pissed off, and he's switching the channels.
Oh, I wrote that down. I actually wrote it down. It took me about 4 or 5 goes to write it down, but I got it. So it's like, Friends, followed by Betrayal, starring Jeremy Irons. Come on, buddy. It's come on, Barnaby Jones Marathon. This old barn. A B. Jones of team.
I'm so glad you got that.
This old barn. A bee.
That was my favorite bit. That's incredible. I just love that just like last little kick in the side. He's like, ugh.
I think my favorite thing about it is like I've seen that gag done a few times. Like I know Edgar Wright does it. And like every time it kind of cracks me up, but I wholeheartedly believe it's done best in Frisky Dingo. Like that thing, because it's just so fast. And I feel like the first time I saw it, I didn't catch it. I'm just like, what's going on right here? And it took me a few rewatches to catch the whole thing. And I never did what Matt did, like actually slow it down so I could write it down. But because it's just another one of those like classic Frisky Dingo jokes where it's smart and insanely fast. Like a blink and you miss it. And it's one of the funniest things in the whole episode.
It was that's what made it so difficult to write it down as well, because it is so fast. You're like literally like, okay, so it's Friends followed by Betrayal, so like you know, pausing it and then trying to write that down, then continue on. But then of course you've got to go back and listen to it, and then like you're always missing something. Like I remember missing like the E-Buddy S combo. I remember missing the combo bit from it. I was like going through it.
Oh yeah,
because it's just so quick. Like and that's what I love about this. It's this. I think that joke is this series in a nutshell, really. Because it's just like boom, 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 boom. Joke, 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 joke. Like super fast.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, it's the fastest thing in the world. And whether or not you catch it doesn't really like hinder your enjoyment of the episode. Because I think I've watched this show, I honestly don't know how many times. And I don't think I caught that until like about halfway through my rewatches. I never even caught it. And I still loved the show. So it's like one of those like, yeah, that is the show in a nutshell. It's amazing when you catch it, and if you didn't, you're probably still enjoying the show. But
because there's another bit immediately after that.
Yeah, like immediate. Everything is a bit. Like keep up or don't, because you can rewatch it.
Yep.
So the joy of having a 10-minute show. Sorry, 11-minute show. We only have 11
Thank
minutes
you.
For this part of the kidnapping. All right. Okay. So we meet up with Phil again, the formerly fat bastard.
Eager to know why you're here.
And he informs Killface, beyond just wanting to like gloat about how he has all this money now, that he has sold the Annihilatrix to a bunch of, I don't know, foreigners, I guess. And he got full price for it, so now he has $20 billion. And he's walking around like he's a billionaire. He went out and got a tux. He's doing everything. He still hasn't cashed his billionaire check. Like, where is he spent? Like, dude. Phil, you're
well,
an idiot.
Well, he got all of Killface's bajillions.
I guess
first.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to be, what? I think it was like $12 billion. So now with that, he's got to be like $32 billion up.
Yeah, he's having a real good couple of... Oh, he got shot in the head.
Oh, right. After,
Simon!
After
Simon,
being
you
want poisoned.
To see something neat? Phil's head exploded.
Like a ham!
After
also, look at this check.
Attempted poisoning by phytoxin. And then he totally pulls... Oh, what is that? A Princess Bride move of taking phytoxin for the past few weeks.
Yeah.
He's like, ha, that's not going to kill me. And you're like, ah, dang it. And then his head explodes. Thanks to Val.
Oh, yeah. Valerie has arrived, finally.
Mm-hmm.
She went on some journey. She bought some guns from Mr. Ford.
I love Mr. Ford in this episode where selling Val the guns, but he's also showing her his saxophone skills.
Oh, yeah. And just blatantly harassing her. Like, he is the worst. But fuck it, Valerie, like, her line afterwards just killed me. Where she's like, why has it got to be my ass? There's a person in
this
ass.
There's a person in this ass.
Like, Amber Nash is just so goddamn funny.
She's such a great sort of like vocal performer as well. Just like the way, you know, yeah.
I love Pam on Archer. Don't get me wrong. She's one of my favorite characters in the whole show, but holy shit, Amber Nash's Valerie is one of my favorite characters ever. She just gets better.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to like the "No, revenge will be mine."
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I said, she gets so many one-liners in season 2, or at least more one-liners in season 2. Like I love Valerie. She's one of my favorites. I honestly forgot how little she's in season 1. She's just in the first couple episodes, mm-hmm. then she hides in the painting, and then she buys guns, and then she starts trying to assassinate Killface, but it takes a while. I thought she showed up earlier, so kind of disappointed, but you know, I can
She also
can
like
deal.
Shoots one of the nerds. I mean, I'm assuming she actually shoots one of the nerds.
I don't think she actually did. I think
she shoots. Yeah, she definitely shoots at them.
Oh, well, she shoots at a lot of things. She's a horrible shot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, it's probably the scope. I mean, Mr. Ford, you know, didn't.
I'm guessing it's a little column A, little column B situation. She's a horrible shot. Mr. Ford sold her a shitty gun. There was just no winning here.
Yep.
Anyhow, so the attempted assassination, they eventually... Xander calls up Killface to demand back his money. They're going to meet up on the Annihilatrix. Sorry, I have to take a brief pause to throw in the insult that Killface has at Xander. Absolute monarch of all bum snackers. Amazing, amazing insult.
I didn't pick up on that.
He's talking to Simon after he gets off the phone with him. He's like, "Oh, absolute monarch of all bum snackers."
Well, that's after their back and forth of like, well, I want my money back. Well, I want my key back. Did you say you want a tea bag? No, I want my key back. Key back, key back. And he's like, what are we doing here? Which comes up a bunch.
I also it's just funny. I also just love the way Xander hangs up on somebody. Like, he wants to make sure you know you got hung up on. Click.
Click.
And then hangs up.
Click.
So they meet up on the Annihilatrix. The final showdown is here. They're going to toss the things to each other, which doesn't make any fucking sense. The key would probably make it over to Killface. The other thing's a scrap of paper, which is the check for $20 billion from Xander Cruz, if we did not mention. I don't think we did.
Written out to cash.
What? Great plan. Yeah. just a great plan. Stupid Stan clones. So they decide to count down and toss to each other, and Xander, of course, doesn't throw the key. Killface does throw the check, which just gets caught by the wind, and see ya. The only thing that we didn't mention before, because it really matters for the climax of this episode, is at one moment, Killface gets upset with Simon and says that he's a bit of a liability now, is a little upset with him. Simon takes that very personally. So when we jump back to the ending here, and Xander keeps going like, does this thing just start like a car? Oh, I armed it? Why would I do that?
Why did I do that?
Why did I do that? And then they cut over to little Simon. Like, no, don't push the launch button. Ha ha ha. Boosh. And that's it.
And boom.
Boom.
Fade to white.
And boom goes the dynamite. Haven't made that reference in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the end of season 1.
Yep.
And the world.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, well, it is the end of season
and
1.
The world.
or is it?
No, it is.
Maybe the world.
to be continued.
Maybe? Probably. Possibly. You know what? No, I know it is, because next week we still have another podcast that's on season 2. So I'm pretty sure the show continues.
Or do you think... Well, here's my prediction for season 2. It's just 13 episodes of just a blank white screen. Maybe black.
Yeah, Matt,
and then an
X-Cool
just shows up and just been like, what's going on here?
Yeah, what's... just like floating through space.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pretty funny.
Rick Simon.
Brother also, of Menelaus.
Also had a mustache.
Okay, so.
We have a whole hour. Sorry.
No, I get it. I honestly get where you're coming from. So if that's season 1 of Frisky Dingo, When this season ended, I had just basically caught up with the show. Like, I'd been trying to watch as week to week as I could, and then I caught up right around the time of the finale. So I had to wait for season two. I don't remember what I thought, like, my theory would be. I honestly think at the time, I thought it was just done. I'm like, oh, I guess it's just one season.
Right. I mean, like, the whole world exploded, and that's kind of it.
He pushed the planet into the sun, so that would be it, right? Like, I didn't even know there was a season two until I read a thing in Entertainment Weekly about, like, Frisky Dingo's coming back, and this is why you should watch it. I'm like, Entertainment Weekly's talking about Frisky Dingo? How weird. But, Matt, why don't you tell people really quick, what do you think is going to happen in season two? Then we'll do a brief season one recap.
I thought, like, after seeing the end, I thought what was probably going to happen is you'd open with the Nihilectric stalling like an old car, you know, that sort of, and then Killfest is just going on a massive rant, just like, but it would have started with him just going, oh,
and then probably cursing Phil.
Yeah,
that would have been good.
Philip.
I mean, yeah, that. I think that
very,
very
possible.
Well,
that would be a pretty good start to season two.
Yeah,
I hadn't seen season two in a long time. I mean, you know, since the rewatch.
Yeah,
and I was like, huh, yeah, now that would be kind of cool.
That was the most Frisky Dingo esque opening I could think of. Mm-hmm. It was like a callback to when he was in the car and he was blind with the whole, like, oh, because what we were talking about, when he gets so aggravated that he's so outraged that he can't even form a coherent sentence together.
Yeah, I think that's a, I know I was giving you a lot of shit for it. I don't think it's a bad guess. I think given what we know of the show and where the show could go, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. But that's kind of what I like about the show, is that, like, oh, this would make sense. Well, we're not going to do that then.
Yeah, well, it's
that's obviously the last thing that we're going to do.
Yeah, it's like trying to predict how Venture Brothers is going to go.
Yeah.
You just can't predict it.
Yeah, you just don't know.
Especially in season 8.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. I've had two chances to make Venture Brothers jokes, and I didn't
You
do
brought it,
it
up. It you was... brought it up, Matt. It's your own damn fault.
It's still a little fresh. A little fresh. Anyhow, Frisky Dingo. We're doing okay over here.
Well, one thing I wanted to point out, we were talking about Val real quick earlier, and I just, you know, this, you know, may come up later in season two. This might not. But there's a big, huge Stop Global Warming poster behind Val with Taquil holding an emperor penguin, which I think is hilarious.
I caught that this time. I'm like, holy shit, that's amazing.
It's just, and that's literally it. There's no other context. There's no nothing for it. Literally what I just said is all that's on the poster. Taquil, emperor penguin, and the phrase, stop global warming. That's it.
Global warming.
It's incredible.
Global warming.
Well, I had read that they had a plan for, like, four seasons. Like, they literally had a plan going into the first season of, like, four seasons worth of material. So it's probably, they're probably, like, putting that in as, like, a little bit of a teaser for the next season.
Yeah, when you get to the end of the next season, Matt, you're going to see there's definitely a plan for season three, and we don't get to see that.
And let's just say there still is that plan.
Yep. It's still out there somewhere. We're gonna be okay. Anyhow, let's do our season one recap before I start getting depressed about all the fucking shows that Adult Swim cancels.
Oh, just a little fresh. Anyone cancels.
I'm more mad at Adult Swim right now. Taking a little personal, a little upset with them, but it's okay because we still love Frisky Dingo because it still exists in the way that it exists. And,
yeah, we still have another full season to watch, guys.
We sure do. All, oh, man, like 2 hours of it. All right. Anyhow, so how do we feel about season one? Like, let's just give, like, a brief, like, especially I want to hear from Matt, because Matt hadn't watched all of it. I know where Graham and I kind of, at least I assume I know where we both are since we both watched
it's great.
Times. Yeah, it's great. So let's start with Grandma, because we'll be the easy one, then we'll get Matt's opinion. Season one for me, like, it's just a, I think it's just a solid show. Like, I think it's just a fun show. I think some, like we kind of said in the beginning, I think some of the jokes are still dated. Rewatching, I even had to, again, peek behind the curtain. We talked about some of the more, like, off-color jokes, and, like, I don't even feel comfortable talking about them. I just lifted them out of the podcast. Like, some of them are just so rough that it's like, oof, man. So it is a little tough that you kind of have to enjoy this show through, like, you know, interwoven fingers at times, because, you know, times are just different. Or maybe I'm just more older and mature. That could be something, I guess. I've never really thought of myself as more mature,
I mean, the times definitely have changed. So I think we as a society have grown and matured.
Yeah.
But,
Speak for yourself.
In the early noughties, as we call them, early 2000s, I think this
Do
was...
we?
Yeah. Do that's you what you call them.
Sure.
80s, 90s, and then you have two zeros. What is that?
It's
Oh, my God. Noughties.
I know you don't watch Grimm, so you don't understand the reference, but anybody who's ever watched Grimm will understand this reference. Oh, you've been naughty. I'm not going to explain it any more than that. If you want to know what I'm talking about, check out Grimm.
Not Grimm.
Not Grimm. No, check Grimm out.
Well, I mean, check me out, though. Yo, check me out.
Yeah.
His address is...
check me out in the noughties.
Just put a long beep under that.
But no, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, it's just, I can still love the show, but trying to introduce it to, like, a new audience. Like, I'm a feeling many people who are listening to our show are either carryovers from Venture Brothers or people who have already seen it. Because I think it's kind of a tough show to introduce to new audiences if you don't know their sense of humor. Like, for me to show this to somebody at this point, I have to really know them, or at least kind of know their sense of humor. Like, I wouldn't have invited Matt on this show had I not spent so much time over the past couple of years getting to know Matt, because it's like, it's a tough one. Like, they might be like, this is insanely offensive. No, thank you. And I can't blame them, really.
Nope.
I'm still waiting to be offended by anything, to be fair.
I assume
that
be
says
fine
more
with,
about your moral
here.
Compass than anybody else.
Yeah,
the actual.
That's more on you.
It is on me. I just want to know what it feels like now. It's gotten to the point where I just want something to offend me, so I just know what it feels like to be that someone goes, I am offended.
Anyhow, season one, Matt. What do you think of season one? Now that we know that you have no base of morality, what did you think of the season?
Oh, it was awful. Awful show. Awful.
Terribly offensive.
Terrible show. Terrible writing. Terrible voice acting. Terrible off across the board. Just awful. Oh, what is this garbage?
So you enjoyed
I'm
it?
I'm kidding. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. I mean, so I think for anyone who's like watches Venture Brothers, I think this would be a safe bet to like watches Venture Brothers and Archer. I think that is pretty much a safe bet on, like, recommending this.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially Archer, because it's the same guy. But, I mean, Archer, yeah. I don't think Archer ever goes as far with the jokes as they do on Frisky Dingo.
No. Yeah, Archer is definitely
more of the
time.
No, but I do remember that on
of the
Venture
time.
Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Venture Brothers, especially the earlier seasons of Venture Brothers, do sort of go a little bit far, I think. Yeah.
But there's something safer in Venture Brothers, I think, because it does come from, like, a place of familiarity with, like, the old Hanna-Barbera, like, somewhat, like, reference. So even when, like, it does go farther and their jokes are harsher, you still kind of have this, like, oh, but I'm still in a pool that I'm familiar with. Whereas since Frisky Dingo is just so weird and out there that when they do cross those lines, it's just like, well, I don't even want to be here in the first place. And it's... I think it's easier to kind of, like, push people's boundaries as far as Venture Brothers. I think Venture Brothers is just a... It's just it's a more comfortable home. I'm still doing okay. We're going to be fine.
Anyways, Frisky Dingo, that's great. Can't wait for season 3.
Oh, God damn you.
Anyways, my favorite quote of this episode.
Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to say for the season 1 Frisky Dingo? You enjoyed it. It was good.
I absolutely loved it. I think Killface is probably my favorite character. It's really weird. I always seem to gravitate towards the villains in a lot of these shows. Like, the Monarch is my favorite character in Venture Brothers just because of how insanely wackadoo he is. And Killface is, like, very similar. It's that just sort of, yeah.
Killface is incredible.
I mean, he's one of my favorite characters.
London Calling.
Yeah, just love that. Like, even though things like that, though, it's like just the London Calling.
Well, it's like, and I'm going to reference a show that's on Hulu, because I think it's okay at best, but I'm not sure if you guys have watched any of Solar Opposites. There's things in it that work, but for the most part, meh. But it has the same sort of idea. It's done by not Dan Harmon, but everybody else from Rick and Morty. And it looks like Rick and Morty, and it plays like Rick and Morty. It's basically Rick and Morty, but just not. Yep. Doesn't matter. Weird tangent. The long and the short of it, though, is that it's aliens on Earth who are trying to be humans, but they hang a lampshade on it every fucking episode. Like, man, we're just so alien, we don't get it. And that's what I think I love about Frisky Dingo so much, and especially in the first season. Season 2 definitely has that element to it, but it's more of a fish out of water situation than this one. This one feels like Killface showed up, he figured out what humanity was, at least what he thought humanity was, and he's just going to live in that world. So we have that fish out of water. We have that alien who doesn't understand human nature, but they don't ever call it out. Like, dang, Killface, if only you were human or from this planet, you would understand what's going on. Like, you have to infer that, like, problem within him and his character while watching the show yourself as the viewer. And it's those little things in this show that I think elevate it from, like, disposable 4 hours of comedy into something that I could actually, like, do a podcast on. Like, because it's just those little things that kind of, like, oh, this show is better than just the sum of its parts.
Wait, wait, wait. PC stands for personal computer. I mean, just now figured that out.
So is Killface an alien then? Because
that's another thing that I think that what Brian is talking about is, like, they don't point to it so much to where you're like, wait, what is he just like a mutant? Is he a alien? Is he a what is? I mean, he speaks English. Like, what's
he's
happening?
He's got a British accent. Sometimes,
yeah. And
an alien, that would explain all the outdated references that he doesn't get. Like, PC stands for personal computer, and he's got a fax machine, and well, I suppose it wasn't actually his fax machine, but you know what I mean.
And he had a fax machine. Yeah. Anyways, and that's why I kind of like that part of the show, and I like how everybody around him kind of just treats him as normal, right? To where it's like, in any other universe, like, you know, MCU, or, you know, you're talking about X-Men or whatever, you have a bunch of people with all these crazy abilities, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's just kind of the world that we live in. There are superheroes and stuff like that. In this, you're just like, well, there's the X-Tacles and Awesome X, and then Killface.
But even Killface wasn't popular or even really, like, public knowledge until very recently.
And then, like, but his whole group, right, his whole, you know, people that are around him and kind of, even just random people in the street just kind of accept him as being there. Of just like, wait, whoa, what the fuck are you? It's like, he goes to a fucking hospital and they're like, yeah, do you have health insurance? Like,
yeah.
it's great. And it works for this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we never saw who the supervillain that Awesome X had defeated what looked like, though.
I think supposedly
he defeats all of the supervillains, and there's nobody else left, and that's why Stan is trying to get him out of the crime.
There is a headshot of the villain in Grace Ryan's news report. It's like in the right upper right hand corner, like right when she starts talking. It's like another blink and you miss it, but you do get to see, like, oh, he was a supervillain. I think we kind of all agree. So if we're gonna do favorite characters, if Matt is leading the charge with Killface, and I agree, Killface is an amazing character. My favorite character is, it's a more of an organization, if you will. It's got to be the X-Schools.
I wonder who it is.
To be the X-Schools as, like, one character, because they're the reason I fell in love with this show. Every line they have is funny. Like, they're just so fucking good. All the way up to the end of the series where they include Hooper, which we didn't really talk about. But Sin joins the X-Schools, and it's just like, holy shit.
That's her new job.
And just like that, yeah. She just shows up, and she's like, oh, I don't want to tell everyone I'm a woman, but I'm obviously a woman. Hey, dudes. And they get a new fat mic. You got to love that, too.
Hey, is it weird that I kind of want to fuck Hooper? Not as weird as I kind of want to fuck new fat mic.
Graham, what's your favorite character?
Well, I mean, since you picked the two best ones,
You don't have to have your own. You can agree.
Well, I agree, but also I do also want to point out Tuckwheel, because he is consistently amazing. I just love all of his raps. I love Scion TC. I love all of his publications. I love how marketable he is. I love his voice. I mean, he's awesome. I love Killer Mike, and he does a fantastic job. I have seen this show, obviously, way, way, way earlier, but then have become separately a more fan of Killer Mike and Run the Jewels and stuff like that. And then upon this rewatch of like, holy shit, that's Killer Mike. And it was just really cool to come back to this show that I have loved and realize that one of my favorite rappers is and was such a big part of the show. It's really cool. So,
Especially moving into season two. He shows up a hell of a lot more in season two.
Get on the bus.
What is this white knuckle thrill ride? I'm not going to spoil what I'm talking about there. Holy shit. All right. So as we've kind of just, you couldn't tell from the last 3 seconds, Frisky Dingo is, in my opinion, one of, if not the most quotable shows in Adult Swim's history, or just really any animation's history. Like, it is just insanely quotable. So for that, our final wrap-up of season one before we say goodbye and get ready for season two, we got to say our favorite quote of season one, and I'll give you two. You can have two quotes if you have two, or if you just want one, that's fine too. But I'll let Graham get started on this one. Graham, what your favorite quote or quotes from season one? What you got?
We have a whole hour.
So good.
I mean, as you just said, and as we just showed, this show is so quotable. It's impossible to pick one. But if I were pressed at this moment in time, that's one of my favorites, because it's just incredible. I mean, the timing of it, the setup, the callback, it's just the character, the Exicles themselves, and it's just, it's great.
So I have it. Do you want to go for, do you have two, or you just got the one?
That's the one. Yeah. Okay. For the whole series. Yeah. If I had to pick one for this episode, it would be something else. But yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't really have one for this. I mean, I could have found one for this episode, but I just thought it was better just to go straight to the full series. Mine is, I have two, because I had to go with one that, like, I still quote every day, almost. I'm like, it's not even my favorite quote from the show. It's just the thing that has stuck in my brain forever. And that is, anytime I'm driving down the road and I see a Scion TC, whoever's in the car with me, I'm going to ask them if they can bench it. It's not necessarily a quote, but I will be, if I'm behind them in a red light, I will just look at the car and look at whoever's in the passenger seat, think you could. Think you'd bench a Scion, like, every time. Like, it is just permanently in my head. But on this rewatch, I think the one that got Chewie killed you. Oh, she gets really tired of it. Now if I say think you could, she's like, oh, is there a Scion near us? But on the rewatch, I think the quote that got me the most this time, which I never would have guessed, but it was from, I think it was last time we recorded, it's when Sin goes to the unemployment office, and it's just that rant from the unemployment worker of the, oh, I was supposed to get pickles for a party. Want to come? There's going to be pickles if I get them. That whole thing. Like, holy shit, that's funny.
I was supposed to get pickles
for a party. Just like, you just see the thought bubbles, like, her brain just moves slow. Like, just everything that comes in her head, she's gonna say it. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's
we
another
just
one.
Need your resume. Listen, lady, I have already got a job. It's not a great one, but I've got one.
It's not a great
better
one.
Than better than your job. Because you don't have one.
Because you don't have one. But we can get you a job. All we need is your resume.
I just think about that in any real world situation, and I'm just gonna stand up and leave. Like, I couldn't handle it. It's like, nope, I don't know what I just walked into, but I'm out.
You're either having an issue or you're fucking with me, and I don't want to deal with either right now.
Nope.
Goodbye. know what? I think it's best if I just apply to the Exticles.
They die a lot. Still worth it.
Still worth it.
Matt, what about you? Favorite quote or quotes?
So I do actually have a favorite quote from the last episode, which I would like to... It's not going to be my favorite, but it's just... when they're at the bank and Killfish says to Sally, yes, what's going on with the bug lady? And the teller's like, oh, who knows, you know? And Killfish just looks at the camera and goes, not us, certainly. And it's just another example of those brilliant sort of like looking to camera jokes, which like one of my favorites from season one is one of those though. And it's, damn it, we only have 11 minutes for this part of the kidnapping.
Just but right up to the fourth wall.
Yeah, I think one of the ones that I'm going to go with is actually one that I haven't actually written down in my document because I just thought of it, and it's Whatley.
Stop
when he's driving around, he goes, "Oh, there's a news van. I love news." If I had to go back and get the actual quote out of my document, but God, it's just the a news van. I love news.
But then it's straight to the dump with these because those are a dangerous combination.
I just love like, especially like the camera pulling like, does it go down? Oh yeah, it goes down because they're all at the top and it's like, are those like radioactive ants? It just like. Crashes down and they just see Whatley waving as well with that giant claw.
Oh, I fucking love Whatley.
He's a
wait, yeah.
So that's it then. We're done with season one. I am honestly a little surprised at how fast it went, and I know how fast this show goes, but that was it.
Yep. That was quick.
Yep. So season two starts next week. We are going ahead with the insanity that continues. More characters show up. Some characters go away for a little while, but then come back. I'm just so excited to get into it because I love season two. I love season two of this show, and watching season two of this show in an election year is quite a treat.
It adds an extra excitement to it.
All right, so let's do a very quick round of plugs, and then we can say goodbye. For this show and every other show on the ATH Network, check out athpod.com, and be sure to follow our new Instagram for our show Behind the Hype at BTH Podcast, and check out everything we're doing there. Since we're following a filmmaker of some regard every month of the year, we are now celebrating them on our Instagram. So if you want to see behind-the-scenes photos, some promo art, anything like that, for whatever movie we're covering that week, check out Behind the Hype Pod Instagram. Lots of really fun stuff going on there. Matt, Graham, anything you're plugging?
Plugs.
Cool. Get in there.
And Matt, life and cereal. Get a bowl full.
Today.
Shove it down your gullet. It's good for you. Life.
Matt, what are you plugging?
Nothing I can say can top that.
Fair enough. All right. So thank you, everyone, so much for listening to this and all of season one. Tune in next week for season two. Bye.
Harup.
Bye. Harup. Boosh.
Boosh.